Series on the church and mission, using as our base the great six great ends of the church, which are goals, missions, a mission statement, a calling for the church that comes from old Presbyterian documents, more than 100 years old, and yet still speak to us today. And today we're talking about the preservation of the truth. The preservation of the truth. And so we read in the 18th chapter of John, toward the end of the gospel, it is the morning of Good Friday. Jesus is before Pilate, the Roman governor. He is soon to be condemned to die on the cross. But there he stands, and Pilate is clearly curious, and perhaps very deeply curious about Jesus and about his mission and about who he is. So hear now the word of God. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You might think I ended the scripture a little too early. What happens next? This interchange between Pilate and Jesus culminates in Pilate asking Jesus, "What is this truth that you bear witness to? What is truth?" And that's the end of the scene. Jesus just stands there. He just stands there until Pilate leaves the room. So there Jesus is before Pilate, and Pilate asks him, "What is truth?" And Jesus doesn't answer. Or does he? We live in a world that defines truth as what is historical, what is scientific, what is provable. But Jesus is talking about a different kind of a truth with Pilate. It's the word in the Bible is an incarnate truth, a lived truth, the truth that only comes wrapped up in a life. A truth that impacts who we are, what we choose to do with our lives. Elsewhere, the Gospel of John says, "The Word became flesh, became incarnate, and lived among us full of grace and truth." As if to say that the truth can't really be put into words, not the truth that really matters. Not the truth that really matters. Words can only scratch the surface of the truth that really makes a difference in our lives. We read the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, the very first chapters of the Bible that tell us the world was created in 6 days. Is that a true story? Is that a true story? Well, according to physics, according to chemistry, according to evolutionary biology, it's not a true story. It's not a true story at all. But in the Presbyterian Church, we love God with our minds. We take that calling from Jesus, from the Scriptures, to love God with our minds very seriously. And so we agree with those conclusions of science, such as they are, knowing that science changes and adapts and evolves as well. But we agree with the conclusions of chemistry and biology and physics, and yet we also say that the Bible speaks the truth when it tells us about creation. Every year in confirmation class, I have young people who struggle. They struggle. They think, I have to decide whether I accept evolution, what I'm learning in school, or whether I trust the Bible. But that question is sort of similar to saying this: which of these two is true? Is it true to say that glands produced hormones within me that created a reaction, that created a sensation of attraction within me for another human being? Or is it true to say that I fell in love? Surely, both of those are true. There are different ways of speaking what is true. Science is true when it tells us how the world was made. The Bible is true when it tells us why the world is made. When it tells us that we're not random collections of amino acids that just happened to coalesce and with no purpose, no real meaning beyond the fragmentary, momentary time of our existence, and that we'll soon pass into eternity, even though there may not really even be any eternity to pass into. No, the Scripture tells us, no, we're created with a purpose, that our choices matter, that what we do with our lives makes a difference. Another example, the book we read last year about evolution and faith, a fascinating book. John Haight talks about explaining why is a book, an ordinary book, why does it exist? You can say that that book exists because ink was applied to paper with heat, and that explains why there is a book to hold in your hand. Yet it's also true to say that there's a book in your hand because an author put characters and a plot together to create a story that resulted in the book that you now hold in your hand. Which of those explanations of a book is true? Clearly, both. Both are true. The truth we seek to preserve, when we talk about the preservation of the truth, is an existential truth. It's a truth about what really matters in our lives. It's about the truth that's made flesh, that made flesh in our lives today. But it's also true about the truth that's made flesh in Jesus. When Pilate faces Jesus, he is face to face with the truth. When Jesus just stands there, he is saying, without even saying it, that the truth you're seeking goes beyond words. The truth really is made flesh before you. It's sort of ironic, isn't it, that the Word of God, the Scripture, with 66 different books in it, the Word of God in the end tells us the truth really is beyond words. The truth about the one who made all things, the truth about the one who made us, the truth about the one who redeemed us in the person of Jesus, all that, those are words that try to describe a truth that's really beyond words. And Jesus proves it by just standing there in front of Pilate. Standing there. In the hope that Pilate will really hear this wordless word that Jesus is speaking. So the truth we preserve is that the life that matters is found in Jesus. When we, like Pilate, are face to face with Jesus, when you and I come face to face with Jesus, either in reading the scripture or in worship or in the quiet of our own homes, it's the living truth of Jesus that matters. I'm interested in the Jesus of history. I find it fascinating what historians will say we can prove to a certain extent about what Jesus did, and I find it fascinating the questions they raise about what we can know and what we're not sure of about the historical Jesus. But the Jesus that matters is not the one I can prove. Let me tell you what I mean. You know the story of the stilling of the storm. You know, Jesus has been teaching all day. He goes out into the boat on the Sea of Galilee with his disciples, and he falls asleep in the back of the boat on a cushion, as Mark, with wonderful detail, tells us. But the wind begins to blow, and the waves begin to crash against the boat, and soon the boat's being swamped. And the disciples are in fear of their lives, and they look in the back of the boat, and there's Jesus. He's still sleeping. And what do? They go, and they shake, and they wake him up, and they say, "Master, don't you know that we're perishing? Don't you know that we're about to die here?" And Jesus stands up, and he looks at the waves and the wind, and he says, "Be still." And the wind ceases, and the waves stop. And the disciples say to each other, "Who is this? Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Now, what is that story about? On the face of it, it's pretty clear what it's about. But what is it about for you and for me? Does this mean that when we're on Gages Lake or Lake Michigan, that if we're caught up in a storm, that we should look to the back of the boat to see if there's somebody we can shake awake with a cushion to maybe stop, save us from danger? I don't know about you, but I'm not on Gages Lake or Lake Michigan all that much. No, that's not what it's about. What matters is not that Jesus can still a storm on Lake Michigan. What matters is whether Jesus can stop the winds of loss that may be blowing me over. The waves of anxiety or chaos that threaten to overwhelm me. Can Jesus still that? Can Jesus still the storm that goes on in my heart and in yours? If Jesus can't do that, then it really doesn't matter what happened on the Sea of Galilee. And if he can still that storm, then that's the truth. That's the truth we need to not just preserve, but celebrate and pass on to our children and shout from the rooftops. Because it's that kind of peace, that kind of strength, that kind of courage that the living Christ can give to us now. And that's the truth that matters. Pray with me. Lord, let us not only preserve the truth, let us live it. Let us celebrate it. That amazing grace and truth and peace and courage and comfort and hope that we find in the one who stood before Pilate, the one who stands before us today, Jesus our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.